Play matchmaker with the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid app. With the Wisconsin Cheese Cupid app, you can quickly discover perfect cheese and drink pairings from the convenience of your own palm. CheeseCupid.com.
I'm Chris Kuzmi.
And I'm Mary Izette.
From
Forget About It.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon.
Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this hole since you left me alone.
Welcome to Love Bites on Heritage Radio Network, where dining and dating collide in New York City. I'm one of your hosts, lady food writer Jacqueline Raposo. You can catch me on everything as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight, and single.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I'm an actor, writer, musician, occasionally a bartender, and a server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I am 33, straight, and so single.
After our first segment today, we're going to be joined by Jamie Feldmar and Sarah Zorn, two local food writers who are going to give us the single and married takes on how eating for a living affects their love lives. I adore these two women. I'm very excited that they're here. But first, we want to thank those of you who have listened these past 8 or so weeks. It's our now 8-week anniversary, Benny.
Woo-hoo!
Happy anniversary. We've really loved exploring the intersection of love and food on the show, and we get a crazy high from every interaction we have with you guys. But we really want this show to be more of a two-way street. So here's what you can do to make that happen a little bit. We're on iTunes. You can subscribe to us as a podcast on iTunes. And maybe if you feel like it, leave a review there.
Good reviews only, please.
Good reviews only, please. Yeah. The bad ones you can keep to yourselves.
No, we'd love your constructive criticism.
Yes, would be great. Yeah, and we've got this website, lovebitesradio.com. We post about all of our upcoming guests on the show. We do occasional blogs. We put up our segments there. If we've missed something in the conversation, let us know. We're on Facebook. We've got this beautiful show page on heritageradionetwork.org on their new website. And like we did a couple weeks ago, we also invite you to hook us up a little bit, you know, on Facebook, on our website, on Twitter. Find us anywhere. But definitely, if you like the show, let us know. If you don't like the show, let us know. Let us know what we can do better. And obviously, you know, dating, dining, food, deliciousness, we are here for you. But this week, something exciting happened because one of you was here for us, Ben. You got hooked up.
I got hooked up.
It worked.
It worked.
Yay.
Eureka.
So if
you were a regular listener, you will know that a couple weeks ago, Jacqueline and I put out a call to hook us up. We said what we were looking for.
And then Heritage made these adorable little like baseball cards from it.
They were like little personal ads.
They were very cute.
And mine had my adorable face on it.
Adorableness.
And
all this stuff about passion and self-reflection. And it was very
flirtation and sexiness.
Yeah.
And
all these things he was looking for. And what happened?
And we got a few responses of people who like wanted to hook me up with their friends or even like one. So like there were three potential women who like I was maybe going to go out with.
You're vetting out already. There's three of them.
So one of them kind of wrote being like, hey, like, sounds interesting. I'm down. Hi, Ben.
And what happened with her?
So with her, I just like replied in the kind of comment thread that was going on. I was like, hey, yeah, sounds great. Shoot me a message. And maybe I should have been taking like more of the initiative because she kind of flaked after that. And maybe I would have taken the initiative a little more too, but being the superficial, you know, asshole that I am, I stalked through her photos a little bit and was like not
totally
impressed.
Let's skip past that then. So this other person who...
Okay,
who
so then said, another person like wrote in saying she had two friends she wanted to hook me up with.
How did she decide?
So she asked for my email address, which I gave her, and then she wrote me an email saying she had two questions for me.
Ooh.
The first being, am I Jewish? Which
is pretty
my name is Ben
white.
Rosenblatt.
Yeah,
so the
thought.
Answer there was yes. And the other is, would I be interested in dating an older woman?
And,
the answer to that was a little more complicated because the answer...
Well,
because
you're 33, you don't necessarily want to go out with a 70-year-old. I'm guessing it might be your limit.
Actually, I don't know. That would kind of be hot. No,
So, all right, so you said yes or no?
Well, I said yes, but I put in a caveat, which is that... I am not looking necessarily, as we kind of discussed last week, to like have children at least right away. And so I made it clear that if this woman was reaching the age where she was getting really wanting that and getting to an age where she was like looking to settle down and have kids right away, that like maybe it wouldn't be the best match.
All right, so who she set you up with?
She set me up with the younger girl, who's the Jewish girl.
Okay.
And,
have you gone out with her yet?
We're going out tomorrow night.
Ooh. Wait, so what has your exchange been like so far? Because we did talk, like, we've talked about going offline. We're sort of still online if people are hooking us up online. But, like, the idea of meeting people through people rather than just being on dating apps. Like, getting hooked up by people who you know. So, why did she think, did she give you any indication why she thinks that you two might hit it off?
Well, she saw the little personal ad. So, I'm assuming that maybe she thought that this girl fit some of the... characteristics.
Okay, but you didn't have
I
any
mentioned.
More like conversation with the actual woman doing this setting up?
No.
Okay.
She sent an email to both of us saying, hey, meet each other. And she gave our names and told us a little bit about each other that she knew, which she doesn't really know me at all. So, and she gave me like a little snippet of information about this woman and then was like, all right, off you go.
So
chat
what is
away.
Your communication, Vincent?
So I... started things off by sending an email, like asking her some questions about herself, telling her a little bit about me. She responded.
Did you send her a dick pic?
Yeah, but it was like three photos that I had to kind of paste together because they don't, you know, I can't really get like an accurate shot
still,
in
right.
one.
Sorry, I don't know why I had to ask you that.
So no, come on. What kind of guy do you think I am? I would never.
You're the one that brought up dick pics a couple weeks
because
ago.
Because I assumed that you always received them.
No. What kind of girl do you think I am, Ben? All right, let's get back to the point
All
at
girls
hand.
Receive them, I thought.
Let's get back to the point at hand. Okay, so you're messaging with her. And
we'll have to ask our guests later if they receive.
All right, note to self after the break.
Yes.
So things are going well enough.
So, yeah, so we exchanged like a couple emails that were... like I tend to be like very verbose and overly, you know... wordy. So I sent like a couple like really wordy emails and she responded very nicely and very sweetly. And then I was like, all right, well, there's only so much you can get to know about someone through email. So like, I'm down to just hang out if you are. And she was like, great. And so now tomorrow night, I'm taking her to one of my favorite spots in New York. And I'm very excited, which is an amazing little spot that you all must try. It is a tiny, tiny little bar on the Lower East Side called Sunita. It's on Norfolk between Rivington and Delancey, and it is owned by this woman named Sunita, who is the owner and the only bartender. So it's just like a total one-woman show. If she's not there, the place is just kind of closed for the night. That's, I guess, the one drawback to the place is that I've tried to go a couple times, and just like it's been closed because she was out doing
Have
something
else.
Have
you brought else. Other girls there?
It's
like
a place.
Go-to.
It's one of my spots. Yes, I brought a few other girls
there. Okay, so
there.
It's not
yes.
that you're already putting this woman on a pedestal so much that you're taking her to the place.
No. It's just like one of my go-to kind of spots where I know we'll have a nice time, and it's,
okay,
you know,
right,
I try
right.
to impress a
so
little bit.
So question. So are you more nervous about this because you got set up through somebody than were you to just meet her online?
I don't
normally?
Really get nervous.
So there doesn't feel like there's any more pressure because... A, she know. I mean, she knows about the radio show, obviously. I don't know if she's listened. Do you know if she's listened?
I don't think she has.
Okay.
But
I mean,
she
knows more about you than somebody who you just, you know, maybe meet on
I actually feel better about
website.
It than I do about...
Why?
I don't know. There's a little... Even though I barely have met the person who did the setting up, there's something just about knowing someone who knows the person that, like, makes it... makes me... feel like they have some more substance or
I'm hoping that this is going to be like our new thing in our 30s. Like we were talking before the show about how like when you're younger in your 20s, you just date people. You don't really need to find them. Or even if you're dating online, you just date a lot of people and you go out a lot and you have a lot of sex and like it's sort of really easy. But
know,
like we get in our 30s,
nice.
They are for that. But then we're in our 30s and like we like life. Like we like our lives. Like we like our jobs. We're more a little bit more grounded. We're more self-assured. We have nicer apartments and good friends, and it's like we don't need to sort of just be out and be crazy social, but like I'm hoping that maybe we've been talking, it's coming up a lot, like people just setting each other.
Have you ever been set up?
I have not, and I would love to be set up. And I just finished reading, well, listening to Aziz Ansari's Modern Romance. It's really amazing to listen to because he narrates it, and he goes to like 5 different countries. He does 100 case studies. He tests audiences like during his stand-up the entire time he's researching the book. It's a great listen because it's really funny and it's smart. It's not just him doing a memoir or a comedy book. But like the conclusion sort of is just like that all of the angst that we get from being online and all the time we spend, the older you get when you're sort of past it, especially when you're ready for something of significance, like just if you've got great people in your life, have those great people hook you up with other great people and just sort of do, you know, I mean, we both have amazing people that we work with.
Totally.
So why
haven't you had anyone hook you up with anyone?
Honestly, I'd never thought about it until the past couple of weeks. And then so many of my friends now are married with, you know, and with potentially with children, that it's just not like they're in the family zone already. Like I have to think about that more to reach out to single people and then just to let people know that you're open to it. Like I think that's, you know, if we're thinking about like, how do you make that happen? Like, how do you make that happen? If you don't have a radio show where you can tell people, hey, hook us up. Like, how do you make that happen? I think it's just letting people know that you want that to happen.
Totally. And I think it's better, and this is a total generalization and maybe awful of me to say, but I think it's better to go through a female friend.
Really?
Like, because I feel like with guys, I don't know. I've been kind of potentially set up a couple times, or I've had women mention to me a couple times that they have a friend they want to set me up with, or like I've gone to a female friend and been like, oh, like I think your friend is kind of cool, or I think your friend is kind of hot, like can you hook me up? And I think it's, for me anyway, easier through a female, because
but if I went to you being my male buddy,
here's the thing,
said,
I know what all of my male friends are like. And, like, they're all awesome guys.
How do you know I don't want what your friends are like?
Well, maybe you do. I don't know.
I probably don't.
Like, that's the thing is, like, and you and I are also unique in that, you know, you dated one of my absolute best friends for a decade. And so there's never really been any, like,
are you holding a candle for him or something?
No, I'm just saying that there's never really been any sexual tension or anything like that between you and I.
Right.
Whereas, like, most guys and their
maybe
girlfriends.
Maybe not on your side, Ben. I'm just kidding. There hasn't been.
I know you've been secretly in love with me forever. No, but with most girlfriends that I have, even, or I think most guys and most girls who are friends, there has at some point been some, you know, flirtation or interest or some level of something that's maybe gone down, right? And so, like, I think it's hard sometimes for, like, a girl or a guy to want to, like, set up his girlfriend or a girl to set up her guy friend because maybe there's, like,
I don't
know.
I want to open,
you know,
this up to people who are listening, guys who are listening, because I am curious about this, though, because I have a lot of guy friends. And I don't, like, there's no guy friend in my life that I have secret sexual pinings for.
But maybe they've had them for you. Like, I could think of at least one guy friend who we have who...
There's been a bunch of our guy friends. Let's not joke.
Okay.
Right? Yes, I know. But they've been there, done wet bat with them. So it's not like I need to do it again.
But it's still there.
But,
like, it's, you know...
I guess. All right. Well, let's open that up to you guys. If you have any... If you want to set us up, or you have this male versus female question about how this would work, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, or tell us, how do you do it? How do you get set up?
Yeah.
Right now, we're going to take a quick break, though. First, we want to thank our sponsor.
Woohoo,
a new
sponsor.
Yeah! They are Wisconsin Cheese Cupid, and they have an amazing app.
Called Cheese Cupid.
That we
it's
just downloaded,
adorable.
Which is so cool. We were playing around with before we went on the air today.
It's very sexy looking. It's like black and gold
it's
and
sleek.
Red. It's very sleek.
Anyway, you name your cheese, and it'll name you a couple different types of wine, a couple different types of beer, a dessert wine.
It'll describe the wines and describe the cheeses,
and
or
it'll
vice
tell
versa.
You
put
what
in what you're drinking.
To pair with.
Yeah, and put in what you're drinking, and it'll tell you what to eat.
So it's really cool. Check them out. It's Wisconsin Cheese Cupid. Give it a download. Best thing is, it's free.
It's
so what
free.
Do you have to lose? We're going to take a quick break, though, right now. Listen to the smooth music of Rec Tech. And when we come back, we'll be joined by two gorgeous and insanely smart lady writers who are in the studio with us right now. So come back and take a listen after the music.
You still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
We are so excited to have Jamie Feldmahr and Sarah Zorn in the studio today, two of my favorite fellow lady writers. Jamie was one of my editors at Serious Eats during her time there, and then we worked together again when she was a senior editor at Tasting Table. She's now a co-founder and partner in Mona Creative, a creative agency helping all sorts of companies and food be the best they can be, and she's working on a cookbook, We, with Chef Naomi Pomeroy. Sarah Zorn is no novice to Heritage Radio. Her show, Taste Talks, extended her work with Northside Media's Taste Talks Festival, bringing luminaries in the food world in to discuss the intersection between food, art, design, and technology. She's the editor of Brooklyn Magazine and an editor and writer for Restaurant Girl. Her cookbook, Brooklyn Chef's Table, it's gorgeous, brings recipes from some of the borough's most beloved institutions together in a way that's addictively appetizing and heartwarming. Welcome to Love Bites, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
Hearing
us.
Somebody read your bio never gets old.
I always get so nervous when people are reading my bio. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, I guess I do that crap. So I'm so excited to have you guys here. So, Jamie, you're currently single.
It's
Sarah,
true.
You've been married for a long time.
11 years.
11
I do not know
years.
Why I'm on this show right now.
Well, because
that is true love right there.
Being Sometimes. Like being a lady in the food world, like our worlds, our work worlds and social worlds mix a lot. I find that my time is often taken at night to go to food events and business things rather than, you know, maybe being social and going out with friends or, you know, being single, Jamie, like trying to go on a date now and then. So like, how does being a food writer and that socialization aspect affect your lives being single and being married?
Well, you know, I feel like the way it affects my life being married, I feel like probably I should be accepting the millions of invitations that I get every day, and I at least should be going out
so
to, I know, well, like half of them are, you know, from the tomato sauce, you know, board of whatever. It's not equally.
I would kill for an invitation from the tomato sauce board.
Board of whatever. No, but I should probably be putting myself out there more and going out to dinner. But I'm an old married lady, so to me, like date night is staying home with my husband and cooking.
And is it because you want to stay home with your husband, or because he doesn't want to come out with you?
It's a combination. I don't want to say he doesn't want to come out with me. You know, a little bit of the backstory. My husband has a pre-existing health issue that really does genuinely affect his ability to dine out with me sometimes, because it is, you know, affected directly by food sometimes. But a lot of it is also he does legitimately work in the evenings. He's a dog trainer and he works when his clients get home. So that's really, you know, most of the time he's doing that. But, you know, some of the time it is health related and I respect and get that. So if he can't be my plus one 5 days a week, I want to be home with him. It's not exciting having dinner out with your, you know, food boyfriends as much as I love them as it is, you know, ordering pizza with your real husband.
Aww.
And watching Netflix.
Aww.
And what about you, Jamie? Like, when you're out at all these food events, are you like social? Are you like the total socialite with all these like sexy chef men, or are you like trying to keep it like all under wraps because like these are people you work with?
You could tell that he doesn't go to a lot of these events. There's not like a lot of sexy chef men rubbing up on ladies on these
like,
events.
Oh,
all right. Well,
where are
I know I want to go.
Ben, you're going to be my plus one going forward when my husband can't do it.
All right.
No.
All right.
I mean, it's tough.
Love
you
it.
Know, like the lines between my professional life and my social life are completely blurred. There's almost no boundary between them. And the reality of the situation is that work is always, at this point in my life, like, work is my boyfriend. It's typically my top priority. It takes precedence over my personal life, but at the same time, it's one and the same with my personal life. So it's tough because I spend a lot of my time, a lot of my social life, like, in the food world, and I don't really want to date someone in the food world, but then I spend all my time in it. So I would be lying if I said I had never dated anyone in the food world, because where am I supposed to find someone else if I'm spending all my time in this little bubble?
What happens when you try to bring a guy from the outside world in? Has that happened yet? And what's that experience
like? Yeah. Well, one thing that really sort of annoys me is when I'm talking to a new guy who is not in the food world and they ask what I do, and then I have to tell them, and then the onus immediately gets put on me to pick a place to go.
Oh, I know.
That never changes, though. I've planned my birthday for the last 11 years very begrudgingly, because nobody wants to plan for you.
I don't feel like I would do that, though. I love being the planner of dates.
Well, no, it's because I get intimidated by, like, oh, if they pick a place you don't like.
Yeah, or they're like, you know everything about every restaurant in New York. And I'm like, well, one, that's not really true. But two, even if it was, like, really, the most attractive thing to me would be if you took some initiative and made a plan. And I don't even really care where we go. Just, like, make it happen. Like, show yourself. Like, be aggressive, be forthright, and, like, do it. And I don't even care what it is.
That is the spiel that I give my husband every year when birthday time rolls around. I'm like, take me to fucking Wendy's. I do not care. Just do not make me pick up the phone
and
talk to a
Well, that makes it less about work. It's like, if you're planning a date and you're picking the place, like, A, if you know the people, it's hard to sneak in. And if you're on a date, like, it's hard to, like, go to a restaurant that you know.
I always try to avoid doing that. Like, yeah, it's tempting at first to go to a restaurant where you know people, because it's like, oh, it's fun, they'll, like, send us food, da 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 da. But when you do it for a living, it can be really awkward when a chef is coming over to talk to you, or, like, sending you extra food, and maybe the person you're with is a picky eater or they don't like food, or then your whole, like, flow is getting interrupted because people are coming up and talking to you about work stuff. Like, I think it's awkward. I always try to go to pretty anonymous places early on.
That's smart. Because even, like, your energy changes. Like, if I'm, like, on a date and I'm trying to be, like, sweet and flirty, it's different. Like, the chef comes over, I'm not going to use my sweet and flirty voice with, like, you know,
plus
people that work there.
Guys out there, I just want to really quickly yell at you. Like, how hard is it to get on Yelp and just, like, find a place and pick it and say, this is where we're going, and go there?
So hot, guys out there. It's
yeah,
super
so
hot
easy
when you do that.
Husbands, too.
I will be fair. This year, he really got on it. Although I did, I first put a plea on social media saying that my birthday was coming up, and if anybody wanted to give my husband suggestions for planning, they could. And they sent some very good suggestions. But he went rogue, and he made a reservation at Jean Georges, which is
wow.
I mean, so you, like,
that's the benefit of having a husband.
Shoot for the three stars.
She told you could take her to Wendy's. And you
did.
Told you chose Jean Georges. That is
wow.
He delivered this year.
Nice.
So how do, when you guys both go to, like, so when you go to events, if you're not with your husband, or if you do go alone, like, how do you maneuver that? Because I don't know about you, I feel so awkward when I go to events without a plus one. Like, I do take dates to things, because otherwise I'd rather do food things most of the time than date, so I'll just bring a date with me. But, like, when you go, like, because a lot of work people and couples go, like, do you feel inadequate if you don't bring somebody with you to a lot of these? Or would you rather go alone?
I ride solo a lot.
You're badass, Jamie.
I mean, what if there's someone cute there?
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, it's a good singles opportunity.
Well, in that case, though, then how, because I've never dated somebody, like, in the food world.
Yeah,
like, so how do you
No.
You went down this path. Now you have to tell me how you do it, though. Like, if there's somebody cute there, like, how do you, like...
Well, I mean, it's an art. It's not science.
We were talking with the Picasso.
I know,
of
just,
dating in the food world
sort of
here.
No,
you
yeah.
know what?
Here.
It's tough. Like, I don't necessarily think it's the best idea, like I said, to date someone in the food industry. But I do think when you work in the industry, you know, one of the things that has happened for me is that, like, because I love what I do, I find that when I'm looking at a potential partner, it's important to me that they also love what they do. It doesn't have to be food, but someone who just has a day job that they don't really give a shit about is probably never really going to gel with me, because what I do is so intertwined with every aspect of my life that I sort of need someone who can match that with whatever else they're doing. So it's easy to find those people in the arena of food, because most people who do it are pretty into it. And I don't know. I wish I had a better answer. I'm still trying to figure it out, too. Sorry.
I think Sarah found her plus one in Ben. I think I found my plus one in Jamie. I'm going to be like, all right, Jamie. I'm going to just watch
them. Wingman
the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Yay. Ooh. Likewise. I love that. I'm going to wingman the shit out of you right back. Woohoo. Yes.
Sounds dirty. Radio. I don't know why, but it just does.
So the arts are like notoriously stressful to be in, and you're both writers. You both got cookbooks. You just founded a company, Jamie. Sarah, you've been working with Brooklyn Magazine for a while now. Do you have like desire? Like, how, do you have any long term? Like, New York is expensive, and what we do, we don't make a crazy amount of money in, no matter how up there you are, you know, no matter if you're working for a huge food website or magazine. So like, does that play into your mentality at all for like a future? Like, if you plan to stay in New York, do you plan to have a family?
I'm gonna let the married lady take this first and then I'll chip in.
How is it sustainable to be a lady food writer? I just like saying lady food writer.
It's not an answerable question. It's not remotely sustainable, save for the fact that I'm way happier and more fulfilled as a food writer than I was in my former life. And I've been married for so long, my husband has seen me through various stages in my career. So I'm certainly the happiest that I've been, you know, in the length of our marriage, because I feel the most fulfilled professionally. But, you know, the thing is, I've cultivated a career that happens to be, you know, intrinsically tied to New York City. I have a niche that I'm a, you know, New York City centric food writer, and it's been a hard niche to cultivate. You know, there are very few places out there that are really paying people to do that, because there are plenty of people out there willing to do it for free. So I, you know.
Yeah, that's such a hard thing about writing, is that there's so many people working for peanuts or
the arts
for
in general.
Nothing.
It's a terrible thing where people are willing to work for free. And it, you know, really is a disservice to those of us who are trying to make a living and have really honed our crafts.
And when you've found a way to make it happen, it's, you know, not something that you feel like you just want to, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But being that I'm a genuine New York City native, all of my romantic illusions about what New York City is have long since dissipated. Mm-hmm. I would like nothing more than to live in a beautiful house in a quiet little town. I've literally never lived in a house in my life. Like, that is my ultimate dream, to live in a house, because I've only ever lived in New York City apartments. And as long as I'm in New York City, I will never, ever live in a house. And, you know, my husband and I don't really see ourselves ever having children, which is a conversation for another time.
Like, yeah, but that helps. We talked about that last week, and that like does shape the choices that you make and what you can do and how much money you need to make.
It does, but we do. Where I was going with that more so is that like we have committed our you know lives to having dogs and nurturing dogs and taking care of dogs, and really it sounds silly, I'm sure, to a lot of people, but since having my dog, I feel about my dog the way you hear people talk about having children, like wanting them to grow up in a real community and like feel safe to run down the street. Like, I want my dog to have grass and, you know, to have people that don't run across the street when they see him. And
Sarah's getting out. Sarah's going to get out soon.
I say all the time, if it was possible for me to be a New York City food writer anywhere but New York City, I would do it in a second. Mm-hmm. But just like I resent people coming from other cities and trying to have some claim on what the New York City, you know, restaurant world is, because I feel if nothing else, what I bring to the table and what I do is a real understanding of, you know, the past, present, and how it shapes the future of New York City dining, as opposed to just having a very contemporary view of what the dining scene is now. So,
it's like a conundrum that you're in, because you're so niche for yourself too.
So I can't just move to Portland and be that jerk trying to say like, here I am, let me write about your restaurants. So it's difficult. I've kind of cornered myself into this box, and I'm grateful to have a voice inside this box, but it's keeping me very tied to New York City, and I'm really over it.
Well, and Jamie, you sort of branched out by not working for one food site anymore, that you've got your own company, which obviously is going to keep you here for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I've been in New York since I was 17, and I can't see myself going anywhere else. But, you know, the reality is that it's very difficult to make it as strictly a writer here. And part of the reason that I started a business with two partners and I'm branching out beyond strictly editorial work is because of that financial reality. You know, I do editorial work, I do cookbooks, but I also run a company that does marketing, branding, and PR. And in the food world, you know, you sort of, I think you have to do that. I think it's really difficult to make it as a writer, to work for yourself, especially as a freelancer. And, you know, I think this industry is evolving so quickly that you just have to sort of set your own path and figure out your values. I know it sounds so cheesy, but it's like you need to figure out what matters to you. And like for me, I wanted to work independently. I wanted to work with people I liked. I still wanted to do writing. And the way for me to do that was to go down this road. And I think I'll be here, but like Sarah, I also don't want kids. And I have a lot of friends who've left when
wow,
they
there's
do.
Four of us in this room that are going to be kidless. I feel like we should start a band or something.
At least a meetup group.
Yay.
The childless Brooklynites. But yeah, I mean, every day I feel like another one bites the dust. You know, I have friends leaving left and right because I get it. You know, by most traditional markers, the quality of life here is pretty miserable. So if you want to do things like have kids or own property or, I don't know, a car or something, or have a lawn, like this is not the best place for you to be.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Like, we're all very much sort of breaching the old and new of food writing in New York, sort of the where, you know, print is still possible, but a lot is on the web. It'll be interesting to see where people sort of our generation of food writing sort of age, and if we stay in New York and how that shapes food writing in general in New York City.
Well, you are three people who will be doing the shaping, it sounds like. So
that's very generous of you, Ben.
Well, yeah,
it's nerve-wracking.
That sounds very cool. Well, before we end our show today, I want to start a new segment every now and then, because Ben and I read a shitload about dating and about love, and obviously all of us in this room about food. So I'm going to steal a segment from one of my favorite podcasts, Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's on NPR. And at the end, they do like, oh, what I love this week or what I hate this week. So if we all just want to share something in the food or dining world that we've loved this week briefly, so that you guys out there can sort of catch a ride on what we are, what our brains are working on. Mine right now is that I'm just finishing up David Brooks's Road to Character. It is a fascinating book in general. And I just finished the chapter. The seventh chapter is on love. It starts on page 153. The whole book is about like the road to character and looking at different people throughout time who have mastered struggle or dignity or self-conquest, and like how they've sort of overcome things in themselves to be, you know, morally sort of rounded persons. And so chapter 7, starting on page 153, is about Marianne Eaves, who turned into George Eliot, Marianne Evans, sorry, who became George Eliot, the famous writer. And it's a beautiful chapter about love. And unlike the rest of the book that's about self-mastery, it's about how love is like all-consuming and how like real love is impractical and it's selfless and it's shocking and it's foolish. And it's just really beautiful to see how this woman became, you know, a child and then became the, you know, the writer that became George Eliot, the very famous novelist. So Road to Character, David Brooks, that is what I'm loving this week about dating and love. Who else would like to share something?
I'll go next.
Go next, Ben.
But I'm going to be the angry curmudgeon that I am and share something that I read that I didn't like.
Shocker.
Which was this article on GQ.com called "The Real Reason You Just Got Ghosted."
Oh, wow.
And this is an article written by a woman, and it's
directed toward men.
Directed toward men, and okay. It's about her. It shares three anecdotes, one of which is hers, and the two others are stories from two female friends of hers.
So without going into the reasons why did it piss you off?
Because it basically, it tries to, it advocates, in fact, like ending a relationship by just flaking and not providing any sort of
ghosting
answer or reason, which is, yes,
it's like the antithesis
ghosting
of what we've been talking about.
Exactly.
As far as honesty.
Exactly. And it gives reasons why they believe that that is a fair way of ending a relationship. And all of those reasons, in my opinion, are 100% bullshit.
Okay. What's the article called again?
The article is called "The Real Reason You Just Got Ghosted." I encourage our listeners to go give it a read. It's on GQ.com. And, you know, if you have an opinion on it, shoot us an email at lovebitesradio@gmail.com or kind of log onto our website, lovebitesradio.com, or tweet at us and let us know what you think.
Ladies?
Well, I would never ghost out of a relationship, first of all, but it is okay to like ghost out of food events, right? Because I am a master food events ghoster.
Yeah, I think it's, well, I think it's situational. If it's like a large scale event where it's not like a one-on-one interaction,
I wouldn't ghost a dinner party, but those like, you know, plus one crushes at some bar, like, no, I ghost the second I walk in.
What do you love this week, Sarah?
All right. So the disclaimer is that I have not actually read and or bought this book yet because I'm still kind of sour grapes about the fact that I did not come up with it myself, as I'm sure maybe are you. It's Women Chefs of New York, this new cookbook that showcases, I think, up to 25 of New York City's super influential chefs, like Alex Rige from Lavara, Christina Tosi, April Bloomfield, of course. And basically, it takes you into their kitchens and shows you four of their recipes and tells their stories. And it sounds amazing. And I'm bitter that I didn't pitch it a long time ago. And your Lady Food Writer show really made me decide to get on the stick and stop being sour grapes and just read it already.
Woohoo! Awesome. On my list now, too. Yay. Thanks, Sarah. Jamie?
What I'm loving this week, I have
or hating if you're on Ben's side of the studio. Mm.
Listen, hatred is a just as valid an emotion.
Well, how about something I'm intrigued by, because I haven't been yet, but I'm excited about the opening of the Museum of Food and Drink in Williamsburg, which is, I think listeners on HRN are probably familiar. It's Dave Arnold and Peter Kim, and they've been fundraising for years, and it's finally open in a physical space, and I haven't been yet, so that's why I cannot distinctly say whether I love it or hate it, but I'm excited that they made this dream a reality and turned. I can't believe New York hasn't had a food and drink museum before, and now, even though it's tiny, it does. So maybe if there's any listeners out there who would like to go on a date with me check out the Museum of Food and Drink, please find a way to stalk me on the internet and make that happen.
She's Jay Feldmar on Twitter, right? So that's one. And then it's obviously true. If you shoot us an email, we will get you in
touch. We will hook you up.
With Miss Jamie. Awesome.
She's cute, too. I'm sitting right next to her.
Yay. This is a very pretty studio today. I like it. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us, Jamie and
Thanks
Sarah.
Thanks for having us.
That is our show for today. Next week, we welcome another lady that I love, Lisa Mendelson, who does marketing and publicity for one of our favorite restaurant groups, Avroco. Until then, our theme song is once again Chloroform Perfume by my darling Ben Rosenblatt's band No Denial. Our engineer today once again was Malachi. Thank you, Malachi. And once again, our sponsor was that awesome Wisconsin Cheese Cupid app. Thanks so much to all of them, and thanks to you for listening. Please keep in touch with us. We will be back next week right here on Heritage Radio Network.
See ya.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swim. Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this hole.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Yes, I know if I saw you, I'd beg on my knees for your love.